Alrighty, let's do this.
Let's do this.
Welcome to the CubeCast Podcast. I'm Waffle, and joined with me is Ranja, Mitch, and we have a special guest with us today from the Halfcast, Corey Sikowski. This is the CubeCast Podcast, making dreams come true since 2010. Today is June 16th, 2016, and we have we're coming to you live. Not yeah. really live, well, but like we're recording from the Cubicle Warehouse.
Yeah, we're Waffle and I are sitting right here in the Cubicle Warehouse. Corey and Mitch unfortunately couldn't make it. Which kind of sucks.
Yeah, why you guys didn't spend like $400 to get here?
You never invited me.
That was pretty good. So today on the cast we have Ro Hessler, who's been on the show before back in 2010, and he's former world record holder for 2x2 single and average, and held North American records and a whole bunch of stuff. But he's more recently been getting into Square One and has helped develop a lot of last slot algorithms. And I'm on the East Coast.
Oh yeah, you're right next to me. Like I can actually touch him.
Oh God!
He just touched me. Of course, you can't see it because it is, of course, a podcast. But yeah, I'm here because we're going to be streaming this weekend with the Cubicle.us at Slow and Steady 2016 in College Park, Maryland. And if you're at Slow and Steady, feel free to say hi. Preferably, but not when we're streaming. But yeah, we're going to be there. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So there is no Halfcast because of Corey's negligence.
Excuse me. I was the only one that was able to do it.
Yeah, I'm just cleaning. I'm just lying.
It's hard. It's hard to schedule everybody. We all live in different
it's
continents, and things just didn't work out.
I completely understand.
Yeah, three hosts, three continents. I'm actually very impressed that y'all are able to still like you guys were able to make it happen four times in a row.
Yeah,
I mean tomorrow's one has to get up early, so.
Yeah. It's all good. All right, so I guess that's it for our little housekeeping, our little introduction. Now we are gonna have our guest, Ro Hessler. Well, he's been here next to us, laughing at all of our stupid little jokes and all that stuff. So why don't you say hi, Ro?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right. So I'm pretty sure most people already know you, but why don't you give us a rundown of your cubing history?
Yeah, I've been cubing since 2005. Started competing in 2007. Held 35 records, I think. yeah, I just recently got back into cubing this year, so.
Oh, awesome. So, like, Chris Olsen actually made a really cool video about you, the life of Ro Hessler. This is like, one of his projects that he was planning for some time already.
Mm-hmm.
And the turnout was actually, like, it was really, really good, and a lot of people seemed to enjoy that video.
Yeah.
And to know more about you.
I think it was amazingly produced. Major props to Chris for doing such a good job and making a wonderful product. Did you guys happen to see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
So, Ro, you've recently gotten into Square One, like, a lot.
Yeah, it's addicting.
What was your main motivation to get into Square One?
Well, actually, when Statue moved here, he decided one day, he's like, you know what, I'm going to practice Square One and get good at it. And I took him seriously, and I was like, oh, I'll do it with you. And then... Yeah, I did, and he didn't, so.
Did you really think he was going to do that, please?
I don't know, I was hoping.
Yeah, you were hoping that you'd actually have someone to do Square One with you. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry, you have me and Tommy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Unfortunately, they're so much better.
Skype cube-shaped parody.
Oh my gosh,
Yeah, I was about to mention, Ro, you've been exploring cube-shaped parody quite a bit.
Yeah, it's fun. Getting a little better at it.
I can't even think how you recognize for that. Like,
I don't know if I'm ever gonna actually use it, but it's not that bad with practice. It's just like,
it's one of those techniques. Like, knowing the technique is one thing, but like, you have to do it in 15 seconds, otherwise it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
You have to do all of it. Like, pick up the cube. You have to count all the cycles. Well, for that you have to even recognize like which case it is, what the reference shape is. And then you have to count the cycles, and then you have to, okay, what's the alternate alg? You have to think of all that in 15 seconds.
Yeah, it's difficult. When I'm practicing it, and I'm setting up an alg, like, and I know what orientation is going to be, it takes like it is under 15 for like memo, but yeah, once the shape's flipped with the bottom and
It's
just really random hard. AUFs, it'll be more difficult. So I don't know, just gotta practice and see how possible it is. But yeah, after experimenting with it, I don't want to do parody ever again.
Like, yeah, I know. And it's a really good use of inspection time.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important because like even like some of the best square one solvers, they'll just look at it for 2 seconds and they know exactly what they're gonna do.
Yeah.
They just can see cube shape, and oftentimes seeing to CO is too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And some people could see to CO, I think Michael Young can.
So when did you start?
Squang?
Yeah.
January.
6 months later, already averaging faster than a lot of people.
Yeah, you're averaging, what are you averaging, like 11, 12?
It's around 12, yeah.
Okay. That's stupid.
It is.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy. All right, so now we're going to move on to some questions from our CubeCast team first and some listeners. And the only question we have here that's listed on the show notes is Mitch.
Yeah, so Mitch? I came up with this question just a couple minutes ago, but it relates to how cubing has changed after you've taken your break. So how much did cubing progress after you had taken your break?
It's pretty insane. Like, when I stopped, I had no idea, like, first of all, the cubicle was this big. I don't know if that happened, and then it grew a lot in a year. And just comps in general are huge now. Like, they're never under 100 people, pretty much, around here. And, yeah, you average 8 and you can't podium. It's...
Yeah. God.
It's unfortunate.
Times have jumped.
Yeah, I have kind of an impromptu question, actually. What do you miss about, like, back when you first started competing in, like, 2007, 2008? What do you miss the most about that time period?
When I would get a personal best and it was a record.
Would you say that like the atmosphere is different at the competitions?
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, when I first started, it was mainly like a college student thing. Like, I was 16 and I was considered one of the youngest people, and now that's like above average. So now it's just like tons of little kids. That's kind of
at least in the States and Australia, it's like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang. Okay, so then we're going to move on to some listener questions. From Anoiran Hunt, we have, you have to record this one twice? No.
Hopefully no.
Hopefully no. This is take one.
Can you guys actually check if you guys are recording, like, right now?
I'm recording.
We are also recording.
Corey?
Yeah. Recording.
Awesome.
All right, great. So that solves that problem.
Next question. Talk about
your... I'm just kidding.
That just scared me.
All right, next question, also from Anoiran Hunt.
We're not cutting that.
Yeah, no. What was your world championship experience like? Because you've been to four of them. 2009.
Yeah.
2007 through 2013.
Honestly, 2007, I don't remember much about that one. But I wasn't that good. Surprised my dad actually like took me there. 2009. Yeah, it was, honestly, this is so long ago, but they're all great. My favorite was 2013, though.
How come 2013 was the best?
For me, honestly, it's like when, I feel like that's the time when everyone, like, all the American cubers and all the international cubers, like, started to actually connect. That was fun.
Yeah, I feel that. I remember when I was there, the general feeling was that but for me, it was the first comp that it was the first national comp I had been to since 2009, and it felt like everybody who I talked to online, it wasn't just like we were meeting each other for the first time, it was like we were just hanging out like normal, and it was a really nice community feeling, like we were already really familiar with each other.
It was a great competition.
Yeah. All right.
I was jealous of your pink shirts.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to say that, like, just straight up jealous.
Another impromptu question. Ro, would you be willing to go to Worlds next year, wherever it may be?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would love to go. Just like,
cool. You know,
time out of the office and stuff.
Right. Yeah. But,
vacation.
Yeah.
It's not vacation.
It wouldn't even be a vacation, but it would be, but not really.
I mean, hey, maybe you guys could vend there.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
It'd be kind of hard to get the product like overseas, but
if it is overseas,
yeah. We'll see. I think it'll be overseas. It's been in this hemisphere twice in a row.
Yeah,
hasn't been in Europe in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be in Europe actually last year, but
a lot of people were. Yeah,
kind of. I'm thinking Japan this year.
Yeah, Japan would be interesting.
Oh yeah.
So next question from Annoying Hunt: how do you feel about your 6.94? Because it was interesting to hear how you felt about it at the time. Also, how long after setting that did you know about Felix's 6.77?
Well, I actually knew about the 6.77 before I got mine, my 6.94. So it wasn't like that upsetting at first. But yeah, it was frustrating.
We were just like, oh yeah, no big deal.
It sank in after a few hours. Like, I almost had the world record by a few hours. Because, I mean, 7.08 lasted for, like, 3 years, and we both beat it the same day. It's kind of like, I compete every weekend. Why couldn't I get it last weekend or something?
That's so. The original November 21st.
Yeah. That's pretty true.
Yeah, so, yeah, I was kind of bummed about it at first, but after a while I got over it. I mean, it's still second in the world, so, at the time.
Yeah.
So our next question is from Roy Lee. Who do you consider a legend in terms of cubing?
Felix.
Felix.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, like, it's understandable. He's
aside from Felix, that's like the obvious answer. Not many people. I feel like not many new cubers even know of Eric Akersdyke, but he was ridiculous. It's like the pre-Felix. So.
With the Felix before Felix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me,
Dan Cohen, man.
Dan Cohen.
Dan Cohen, too, yeah.
Cohen.
A lot of these new cubers have no idea who Dan Cohen is.
Yeah.
It's really surprising.
I miss Dan Cohen's backyard.
I didn't go to that.
Oh, I didn't go to that either. I wasn't cubing yet.
Yeah. I went through that one. Oh, man. That's great.
Yeah. I guess, like, one cubing legend, I think, would be like Yu Nakajima.
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And he's still staying like pretty relevant. Like, of course, not doing quite the same things he was doing before, but the amount of times that I watched his second video on YouTube when I was first starting out is, I could not count how many times I did that. Anyway, next question. Actually, Mitch, you do this one.
Yeah, next question is from Isaac Lai. Will you ever improve your scoop results? And I'm not sure who this is directed towards. This could be directed towards Brandon, but maybe I don't know.
I think if it was directed toward Brandon, he would have said.
Oh, okay. Well, then Ro.
Because I'm like last in the world, I think. Very close.
Oh God.
What?
I'm really bad.
Seriously?
What's your average? I learned how to do it with sledgehammers. I went up and got like 30s. So.
Oh, 30s is definitely not worse in the world.
Oh, okay.
Well, don't worry.
Will I ever approve them? No.
Just no. Never.
No.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So Michael Edmonds asked, congratulations. Well, he said, congratulations for the most cubes in 24 hours world record. I was wondering what your PBs were during the attempt for single, average 5, 12, 100, and how many breaks you took.
If you know.
My PBs, in terms of that, we actually had the... it was calculating it, but the program started to lag, and the timer was starting to lag, so I had like a 9.1 average of 12. That was definitely incorrect. So after a while, we stopped paying attention to the statistics, but probably around 11, like for average of 12, I don't know about average 100. And for breaks, I know I took about an hour worth of breaks, maybe like 7 or 8 breaks.
Dang.
Anyone's going to beat that score, possibly?
Yeah, it can get beaten by more. There's no rule. So if we were going to do it again, maybe not me or someone else like Colin or something, we'd have it so the person solving doesn't have to hit the space bar because that could probably cut off like 100 cubes or something. and it, there's nothing in the regulations about it, so it can easily be beaten.
Okay. Well, interesting.
Even, not even just for that reason, like, it could be beaten in general.
It's really just like, does anyone want to put in the time for that?
Yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of people are just like, screw that, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I'm used to staying up long hours, so.
Oh, you don't say.
Non-stop solving for 24 hours. Go bother yourself. Holy
shit. Corey, why don't you handle the next question?
Okay.
Go for it.
Next question is from Yun Kin. I believe that's how you pronounce it. What's the limit average time of 3x3? What do you think is the limit, basically? Sub 5, sub 4?
I think around low 5, maybe. Yeah.
Like, is that global or?
Yeah, like if Felix just learned like the last layer or something.
I'm not sure if you guys saw recently, but Felix posted, I think it was on Facebook or something, and he had like a 5.2 average of 5 and like a 6.6 average of 100, and I was like, holy shit, that is so fast.
Yeah.
Sorry about swearing, but
it's fine.
We have a bleep for that.
Oh yeah.
We have a bleep for that. Okay. Next question is by David V. Have you ever thought about starting
You don't you just don't want to say his name.
Have you ever thought about starting cup stacking?
No.
It was the worst cube that you've ever had.
I guess my store bought.
Oh,
when I started off.
Come on, man. Store bots were great. Dakota Harris.
No, they weren't.
2009.
What was your first speed cube? What was your first speed cube after like a store bought?
An old Type A.
Type
yeah.
A.
They're pretty good for the time.
They were pretty good.
They were really great.
Mitch, you didn't even have to start with one of those.
No, I did start with a Type A, actually.
You didn't have to, dude. Like,
I didn't have to, but like, I didn't know where to buy cubes from, so like whenever I typed in like Rubik's Cube DIY on the internet, like a typical 12-year-old, like the first link that popped up was to like a Type A DIY, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna get this.
Oh my god. I mean, I
actually got the Rubik's.com DIYs.
Oh, same.
Oh god.
I had one of those also.
They weren't that bad back then.
They were
great. Obviously, I would say I wouldn't recommend one now.
It's just the stickers were bad.
Yeah. I got a cube for you, Speed Cube, and I shouldn't have. They were bad.
Oh.
I didn't realize that at the time, though.
All right.
Anyway, and last question, Mitch.
Okay, last question was from Sparsh Alawadi. What kind of work do you do for the cubicle?
I'm in charge of the premium cubes. So at first, I was making all of them, stickering-wise, and tensioning. And now we're actually... We hired a few new people, so I'm just like overseeing them.
All right.
Okay, now we're going to take a commercial break. And when we get back, we're going to be talking about some news and a whole bunch of records since there was no Halfcast. So stay tuned for that. This episode of the CubeCast podcast is brought to you by thecubicle.us. Cubicle is now offering premium Moyu Weipo 2x2s and has a 10,000 sale going on right now. And during the sale, the Cubicle is also selling premium Chiyi Square Ones. Get yours now at www.thecubicle.us.
And we're back. We have a extremely long and hard
section of the show to cover.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you very much, Corey Sikowski, for neglecting your duties of scheduling.
Hey! I made the show notes for this part.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Besides, we're only doing an abbreviated version of this.
So yeah, if you want to see the whole topic, we're going to be posting a link of that on our own show notes so you can see exactly how many records there were.
There's like 6 pages. It's no.
It's not.
This is normal, Ranja. I don't know why you think this is a lot.
It's normal for your 35-minute show, but not normal for our 35-minute show, which is always like
your show is longer
more
than
35
minutes, and so is ours.
God. We are going to be about an hour and 15. It's going to be fine.
It's going to be great.
All right.
So let's start some news.
Can we not cut that? Because that would be really funny.
No, we're not cutting that at all. All right. So on to the news. There was a South American record Square One single that was DNF'd, set by David. I forget his last names because there were like multiple of them. Let me check.
Usually I get Pedro to pronounce these things.
Oh, yeah. So there was a SCAR 1 South American record that was DNF'd at Torneo Nacional Colombia 2016, set by David Rojas Herrera, that had a 7.74 second solve on a missed scramble. David asked for the solve not to be counted anymore because the scramble was incorrect. That happened. But I don't know, you had a 7.
Yep.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, at Cube for Cam, I got a missed scramble. And it wasn't like an obvious missed scramble. It felt like it was an easy solve, but it was full step.
And Muffin Shield, was it?
Muffin Shield, yeah.
Yeah, there was some extensive analysis of the scramble.
Yeah, it was great. I managed to finally find out what he did just by messing with it. But yeah, it probably won't get accepted. So.
But yeah, the like statue is really, really like hard on wanting to get this time to go through. You know, just because other missed scrambles up until this point for other events like Felix's OH... Mm-hmm. was like accepted, but
yeah. The thing is, like, I don't think it's going to be accepted
because I don't either
because you were given a resolve.
Yeah, that's what's stupid though. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of catch 22.
So what if I just
if you didn't ask for the scramble, then maybe scramble it would have gone through. Yeah, so, seriously.
Yeah, it's whatever though. I'll beat it.
Year of the Squan.
You gonna beat it this weekend?
Maybe this guy
maybe
over
not
here.
This weekend,
but I'll actually beat it this weekend. Year of the Squan.
But yeah, that is like an issue.
Yeah,
it's like this was in Square One Finals, and in Square One Finals, like Square One is not an easy puzzle to scramble.
Yeah,
as it well for us it is. Ro and I, perhaps, yeah. Brandon, Mitch. I don't know if Jules does Square One.
No, it's fine,
but the point is, like, not many people know how to scramble the puzzle. And many people that do know how to scramble the puzzle, they're like, oh no, I did it wrong. Can you solve this for me? You know?
Yeah, actually,
so
yeah.
It's hard to get people to scramble Square One Finals because everyone gets the same scrambles. You can't have different heats. And yeah, it's kind of a logistical conundrum.
Yeah. Do you want to say something?
Yeah. One round at the last comp. They messed up the scramble so much that I fixed my cube more than I did official solves on it. Statue was the scrambler.
Oh. Called out.
He's just
the
remover.
No, but, like, you know, he fixes it.
By the way, can we talk about the cube for Cam round one scrambles that we didn't get?
Yeah. I didn't actually take a look at them, but I know I saw Fist in there.
Tommy got a mid-6 on one of them when he was doing
them. That's... at the comp before that, there was Kite with no parity.
Yeah, I actually got that one.
Oh, you got that? What'd you get?
I don't remember. I didn't do so well that comp. I was tired out of my mind. You know.
Yeah,
that.
I remember you were.
It's all right, man. Yeah, just put more effort into competing, like your schedule.
Put more effort into sleeping. I can't sleep now.
Same, basically.
I don't want to sleep. I want to play Rocket League, and just don't sleep.
Oh no,
my Rubik's Cube.
Oh no, my sleeping habits. Yeah, I know.
What sleeping habits? It's gone. Like, just admit it. It's long gone.
Habit, like, don't sleep before work. Just don't, like, sleep when you get home. And I go home, I'm like, I'm free, and I can't sleep. And then I wake up at, like, 4 p.m. in a daze, wondering what happened.
It's pretty good.
It's like I just woke up from a... Okay, I'm done ranting.
Mitch, you get the next one, because you know
about it. Yeah. Okay, so the next topic just happened this last weekend, and it was an issue with one of the clock singles that was in national record in Poland. So Hubert Hanusiak got a 4.80 clock single.
Sniggle.
A sniggle, apparently. At Mielec Cube Day 2016. So the issue with the solve was that the solver was recording the footage on his head with the GoPro, but then he also had the GoPro app open on like his phone, and his phone was like on the table, so he could see the solve through his eyes, and he could also look at the video on the GoPro. And this is a violation of the regulations because you're not supposed to have any screens that show your solve. So currently there hasn't been an announcement by the WCA yet. But we're just kind of waiting for the solve to get DNF'd, basically.
Well, I mean, I was gonna say something.
I've talked to the I've had
Oh yeah, I mean, was the GoPro mounted on his head or was it placed in front of him?
It was mounted on his head.
Then
but
this really
is still a violation. It's still a violation because you're not supposed to have the screen.
And it's a different vantage point, even if it's slight. Like the amount.
It's about like a couple inches higher. But
you don't see anything that you wouldn't see with your own eyes looking at the puzzle. So it could be argued that it's fine.
Well,
and besides, if I remember correctly, I think there's like debate on like getting rid of that regulation altogether in the first place. I mean, it's not really a reason to not DNF it, but
that's not safe.
In the past, they have DNF solves just for this particular reason, and I mean, they might be changing their stance on it, but like I just know that I've seen solves that been DNF before because of this particular reason.
Yeah, and they should be. I don't think they should get rid of the regulation. I think it's a good regulation.
Is the video that was taken online?
It's on YouTube.
That's how it was found out.
Yeah,
great. So we're just gonna link that onto the show notes.
Yeah,
as well.
go ahead and
yeah.
Link that.
Right. So the next.
And also, I believe somebody said that the judge didn't look at the other side of the clock.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know.
You can just have better trained judges.
Anyway, let's go on to our records.
Yeah.
Which is what I should have done a couple
so
weeks
Corey, ago.
So,
Corey, lead us off here because this is actually your section.
All right. Records. So,
yes.
We are actually only going to go over world records and continental records, as stated before. I think it was stated before. Anyway, full list of any top 20 changes will be in the half-cast show notes, or are we putting those in the main show notes?
We are.
Okay. Well, they will be visible to you by way of show notes. Okay. So the first competition with records like this is Big Apple Spring 2016. Megaminx. You guys remember Nicholas Nang?
Everyone knows Nicholas Nang.
Everyone does. Yeah. Well, he broke a world record single.
No.
35.94.
Nuts.
As well as an NAR 43.07 average.
It's crazy because he just practices like one event and gets insanely good at it.
He only competes in Megaminx. This is his third competition.
Yeah. He posted on Facebook recently that he started practicing 5x5, so the North American records are probably going to go soon.
I don't know. 5x5 is still
He practiced for like a month and he's already faster than me.
Wait, Nane is practicing 5x5?
Yeah.
But Mitch, you're slow.
Why?
Mitch, here.
So what's the average? Like
sub 110.
Damn.
Where did you get this?
He posted it like 2 days ago.
Mitch is just creeping on Nicholas Nang. Let's just admit it. Like, here next to his, like...
Bedroom. What do you do? Just, like, pull... Like, write down every event and a slip of paper and put it in a hat and just pull one?
That's what I do.
Swan! Congratulations on your swan. Like
swan,
this okay, so Ro like asks like every now and then, it's like, oh, what event should I get good at now?
The statue picked it out of the hat.
So it's square one for the 6 months, and then next 6 months, what's it gonna be?
Is he still gonna be practicing Megaminx, you think? Back to Nane.
Megaminx.
Megaminx.
Ro, just get good at Megaminx.
I have a sub one average in comp.
Yeah, he's
I just need a Megaminx. That I like. Otherwise, it's like 2 minutes.
Hey, dude, I mean, you work at a
Keemstar. You can use his and
I'm
just like
the
make the center circular.
Oh, there
yeah.
you go.
Then I'll start practicing.
In the meantime, what about multi-blend? You had a North American record in that, like
yeah.
old style.
Old style.
Yeah. What was it?
It was like 5 hours, and it was like 30. It's like 22 out of 30 in 5 hours or something. And then
wow.
at Nationals 08, I did 19 out of 33 in like 7 hours. And then they changed the regs because of me.
yeah.
It's my fault.
How did the rankings used to be in multi? Because I started queuing after that.
From originally, it was...
It was the same.
No, originally, it was just... it had to be perfect. Otherwise, it was a DNF, I think.
Wait, really?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
But
it was something weird.
If you got
like a 2 out of 2 would beat a 19 out of 20.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And
when
it
was this?
This was way back. It changed in like 08.
Well, this is before you can start cubing.
And then they changed it to the hour thing and the points. Oh no, the points came first, then the hour limit.
Yeah, I was about to say, as far as I remember, they've had the points even when it was old style.
But I've won multi with a 2 out of 2 when someone else got a 19 out of 20. It was pretty... Yeah, there was a really stupid event back then.
It's still stupid.
It's really impressive. No, it's impressive, like, now, but...
Yeah, well, we got 3 really good people who are getting further up in the ranks.
Yeah.
All of whom are going to be at U.S. Nationals.
I look forward to that.
Anyway, we should move on to the next competition because we've been stuck on this first one for like 5 minutes.
All right, sure. am I just going to do all of these? Or?
Go for it, man. It's all you.
Okay. All right. Canberra Autumn 2016. Square one, Jay McNeil. I'm just going to list the times right now. 10:31 single, 11:85 average, and then the next round, 9:41 single, 10:80 average. Now, these averages slash singles were on different days, so they're actually all in the books as former OCRs or current OCRs.
Yeah.
Good Jaden McNeil.
So and this is actually these are actually Jay's first OCR singles, formerly held by Felix Zemdegs, the legend.
The myth.
So the first time that like Jay actually beat Felix. Well, with an OCR. What about Skew? Did Felix not compete in Skew?
Oh, no. This is his first Square One OCR singles.
Oh, okay. First Square One OCR singles. Okay.
I believe. I have to double check that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's gotten Skew. No, he's gotten Skew World Record before.
Yeah, he had a 427. I got a 431 and I was pissed.
Yeah, I would be too.
I got a 30.
And then
nobody likes Skew anymore.
Also at Canberra Autumn, our very own Tamara McAdam got clock OCR single and average with 7:15 single and 7:87 average. That's really consistent. Like
she's probably sleeping right now.
Congratulations! I don't want to wake you up.
Congrats on your first OCRs. That's
quite impressive.
No, that's not her first OCRs, or is it?
I
thought she got OCR average for clock a while back. Or is that NR?
I thought she got NR. I don't know. We can check and add it in later.
I didn't actually put notes for that because I expected her to just talk about it.
True.
Yeah.
But funny thing that happens.
I actually put cool, I guess, at the end.
Congratulations, Corey Skazzy. Your scheduling skills are off the charts.
Yeah.
All right, so our next one is National Capital Region 2016, Antoine Canton, who has been a guest several times. Once for our iteration, would feat NAR single of 32.87 and an average of 35.7.
Yeah.
Both NARs.
Yeah, this beats his former North American records from the China Championship, which is... kind of interesting setting North American records in feet, not in North America.
That's the only place you can set the records.
Yeah,
wow.
Because North America doesn't have any. Because
you're not going to hold the event.
No one holds a freaking event. Oh my gosh. All right.
Who else is waiting for that event to be canceled?
I am.
Or removed. Yeah.
It's useless.
All right, let's go on to the next event.
No offense, Antoine.
It says Mitch, who also cares about feet a little bit.
No, I don't. I care zero.
He does it because he has to do every event.
Okay, Mr. Fitbush.
I'm competing in it in like 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks, like 3 weeks, and I haven't even practiced.
Not at Nationals.
Okay, so next competition is Cube is Good 2016. Pretty great competition title, I must say. And
the Koreans.
The Koreans. So Seung Hyuk Nam got a 4x4 ASR average of 27.61. And he also got the ASR 4x4 single at 24.57. And this guy is insane. Have you guys seen his turning style?
It's just scary.
Yeah, it's just like all the time.
So Nam also broke a Korean NR 202.69 mean 6x6. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, next comp, Wellington Autumn. 2016, our very own Tom,
Tom Nelson.
Four blind OCR single of 317.81 and a five blind single of 744.01. He is the only person to compete in these events.
Or multi, for that matter. The only person to do like long blind at the comp. And I forget who was saying that like Australia has all the OCRs. I think it was might have been Tamara.
It was us guys, yeah.
Yeah, it sounded like something that you would say. And then, yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not going to be said this week.
Yeah, not for the next half cast, I guess. So congratulations to Tom. And yeah, I'm going to be doing a lot more long blind. But
no, you aren't.
Yeah, I am.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, great. Well, go.
Four blind's a pretty great event once you get used to the amounts.
Yeah, I got a successful five blind the other week, so hope to be getting better at that than like slow.
And you know what I did cubing wise? I solved a cube.
You solved a cube.
I solved a cube.
Damn.
I'm quite good at this Rubik's cube crap. Like it's.
All right, next competition is Brasilia Open 2016, where there is a South American record FMC single of 23 moves. By João Pedro Batista Ribeiro Costa. That's a long name, but not a long solution. Also, I think that ties.
Yeah, it's a tie. It ties his own record.
Okay. Yeah. So. Okay. So, because I thought I saw that before.
You might remember him from being world champion in FMC.
Yeah. Yeah, I recognize the name, but I couldn't put it all together. Anyway,
next comp.
One night in Beijing, a record was broken. Reblind, 24.97 world record.
Mean.
By Kai Jun Lin.
Congrats, Kai Jun
Lin. It is the first time he has ever held both single and mean records.
I'm surprised he hasn't done that before, but then again, you have...
It's competitive up there.
Yeah, but first sub-25 mean... God. Oh, I don't want to think about that anymore.
Hey,
I for next week at the 625 competition, I was signed up for blind and then just removed myself from the registration because I don't think it's worth it for me. I think my time with three blind is over.
Were you average like 2 minutes?
I mean, in my prime, I guess I was like 1:15, but I used a method that was like orient everything and then do old Pac-Man.
Oh, okay.
So I was averaging like 250 moves.
I see.
Every solve.
You tried teaching me that method, and that was like the worst experience in my entire life.
What is this, 2008?
No.
All right. So next competition is Swandorf Open 2016 FMC World Record Mean.
By Marcel Peters.
24.33.
Yeah. I remember like, talking with Ryan DeLine, Mark Wynowski, Walker, that group of people, when there was just a 24 and a 25, and we were wondering if he could pull it off, and I'm glad he did. God, that's crazy.
But this is the first time anyone has ever had both single and world record.
And meme.
It is.
Well,
single
yeah,
and meme.
Yeah.
Meme.
Yeah, because, well, what did I say?
Meme.
Meme?
Sniggle and mimp.
We're very good at this.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, with FMC, mean hasn't been a thing for a very long time. So, congratulations to Marcel. Like, yeah, go 19 with Tim Wong. Oh, wait. It's 19, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm not tripping. Like, Waffle gave me this look like, what are you talking about? All right. So the next competition is Connor's Cube Day 2016. And Felix Zemdegs set a 0.79 second 2x2 oceanic record.
This is important.
Yes, very important. Okay.
Well... So congratulations to Felix for doing 6 moves. not 4 moves.
Congratulations.
By the way, Brandon, yeah. Do you know who wrote the speedsolving.com article about or blurb about that single?
I have no idea, and I know it wasn't me.
Can I read it really quick?
Go for it.
Felix Zemdegs have shaved 0.09 seconds off of the previous 2x2 single OCR set by himself 4 years ago, with a new best time of 0.79 seconds set at Connors Cube Day 2016. He continues to assert himself as the dominant force in Oceania for 2x2 single solves.
Oh, that's good.
Please tell me you wrote that.
I did not write that. I wish I had.
I didn't think you did. I wonder if that was like serious or like that, like he's just messing with us. I don't know.
Oh my god. And then
anyway,
for one hand scramble. Felix also sent a 11.42 oceanic record average, which beats Michal Pleskowitz by 0.01 seconds for average to get third in the world. That's very close. I didn't realize it was that close at the top. And I thought it might have been faster than that, but who knows?
Well, you are really fast with one hand.
I'm so fast, averaging like 30.
Next up, we have Mitch's Hardware Corner.
Yeah, that covers all the records that were supposed to be on the half cast. Thank you, Corey, for being here and like doing that.
We really appreciate you being here and scheduling your time to be here properly.
No problem. By the way, do you want to actually talk about Cube for a Cure? Because our friend here actually has a result from that competition.
Which friend?
Ro.
What about it?
You got a 9.50 single in square one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That happened.
Oh, full good. Step.
Yeah. I'll beat the next comp, too.
By the way, one thing I noticed about you did not compete in square one in 2015, but has competed in 11 rounds this year so far, and that was previous to Cube for Cam. So.
Year of the Squan.
Year of the Squan.
Year of the Squan.
This is Year of the Squan.
I actually won square one.
So it's 14 now, isn't it?
With a 30 average, I think.
That's absolutely crazy. Well, anyway, on to Mitch's Hardware Corner. Mitch, take it away.
Okay, so I guess I'm just going to talk about a couple new cubes. So if you guys haven't seen, the Cubicle put up a pretty great video of prototypes and their designers. So that's going to be linked in the show notes. So basically what they do is they go around to a couple designers of puzzles at a competition in China, and they talk to them about their new cubes that they're going to be releasing. So a couple of these new cubes are the Qi Thunderclap version 2. I don't know what the formal name is, but I think they say it in the video. The Guoguan 4x4, Kong's Design Cube, and this one has really nice big holes.
That's how you know it's good.
Yeah, it's got to have the big holes. The X-Man Megaminx, these are the new Megaminxes that are coming out, and they have like four different versions. They have like one with ridges, one with like these kind of like weird tile type things, but they're not tiles. It's like just the sides kind of protrude a little bit, and there's like a normal one, and then I think another one is like slightly larger than all the other ones. But Felix put up a
concave one.
Yeah, I mean it's concave. It's not bigger or smaller. So there's like a normal one, concave, and yeah, the other two. And Felix put up a really fast solve. It's like a 41. So it's linked in the show notes. Another cube that they showed off was the Wushang 5x5. I don't really remember anything about it from the video, but new 5x5.
It's a 5x5.
So these last three cubes are cubes that have been on the market recently, and some stuff has been surfacing about them. So the YJ Yusu R, apparently it's not that great.
Oh.
Shocker.
It's economy class.
Yeah, I think economy class cubes are complete bullshit. Like, just get the better cube. Like,
thank
on.
You.
I mean, if you want to give a cube to somebody, well, then just get them the economy class one. Here, start with this. And if you're actually interested, then...
Well, yeah, but... Like,
that's what it's for.
I think people are putting way too much, like, importance on these economy class cubes when the majority of us want a good cube that's going to be our main, since we're speed cubers.
I think most people realize them for what they are. I wasn't even supposed to be funny.
I don't know. I just thought it was funny. It's like, just think of the cube as it is. Just, I don't know.
It's cheap, and that's the point.
Okay.
You can get a decent, cheap 4x4. Okay? Like the next
what?
One.
Okay, next one, Euxen Blue 4x4. Supposedly this one's pretty good. So maybe you should try that. And the last puzzle is the Euxen 6x6. And Felix put up a fast solve, and Kevin put up a fast solve. So you should check them out.
It's a decent cube. Hi, Andy.
I haven't tried it yet. Yeah, hi, Andy.
God.
Hey!
Phil was here, too.
Anyways, there's something that should be like noted with the Euxen 6 is just pops, like there's a little bit of lag.
It's pretty catchy. Like
yeah. That's, but that's really the only issue that is seen by it, or well, I've known. So, yeah.
All right, and that was Mitch's hardware corner, which we may or may not do again.
It really depends. Like, cubes come out like every 2 months, which is perfect. Yeah. Like every other episode, we can have a Mitch's Hardware Corner.
I mean, I think it's a good segment.
Yeah,
yeah. Mitch, you actually have to get these cubes it. Though.
I have none of these cubes, by the way. So,
oh don't, yeah. By the way,
just relaying information here.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. So, do we have any closing notes or anything of that sort?
Well, as we already said, we're going to be at Slow and Steady Spring 2016 this weekend. So, come and say hi.
How much are you going to be streaming?
Just mostly comp stuff.
Yeah, like how often, rather?
Like, all day.
Yeah, like, the stream will be running all day. Okay. And we'll be looking at the chat when we're not on screen and, like, replying as necessary. But
I may join you for parts.
Yeah, please
do. I'll be on staff, but I will have breaks. And during those breaks, I'll probably be bored because all my friends are on staff. So.
Oh, hey, what do you know?
I mean, great. It happens.
You have any final words, Ro?
No. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
that was like really quick episode. That's actually that's actually pretty quick in comparison to every other episode that we've had thus far.
But we're not done.
Yeah, and
one and done.
Before we let
you
go,
we are not done.
We're gonna do a game, and the game this time is Square One Skype Team Blind.
You ready to hate yourself, guys?
Right. How the f*** are we gonna do cube shape?
So, good question.
How are we doing this?
So you're
I don't know, but I'm scrambling.
So Ro, you're gonna call, and we're gonna just listen to you and hope that we get it right.
Do I use my Square One?
Yeah, you call what you see on your Square One. It's as if we're all using Skype.
Okay.
And not asking each other. So for everybody at home, the scramble is in the show notes. I'm not gonna read it out. Sorry guys.
I need something to put in the Square One so it doesn't move. Where's my blindfold?
I
scrambled it. I'm gonna put a blindfold in your Square One.
No. I actually put the Yu-Gi-Oh card Stole Exchange into the Square One so it doesn't move. Because I have it on my desk for some reason.
So am I solving mine and telling you what to do?
Yeah. So you are solving. Yeah, okay. You're solving yours. Okay. So we should have like I don't know what the names of the things are. So.
Yeah. Okay.
You have like two connected edges on top, and then an L and.
You're not supposed to tell us.
We're verifying that we got all scrambled correct, all right,
so
Corey.
I'm just feeling the pieces. I can tell that we have hatchet pair, so.
All right.
I'm guessing you want us to do
bad
a
bad feeling about this. All
right. I'm guessing you want us to do a 0-3 slash.
All right.
Is that correct?
No.
What?
No.
Okay.
Two genus.
Okay.
All right. So -2, -2 slash. Oh, I messed up.
God damn it.
Hold on. It was a -5 instead of the -2 on bottom. My bad.
Okay, I already did -2, -2 slash. So please go from there.
So slash again, I guess.
All right. -2 slash. -4 slash.
Well, I can't make a move.
-2, -1 slash.
I can't make a move.
I'm still going. I'm good.
-3 slash.
Okay.
All right.
Is everyone else stuck besides me?
Yes.
All right. Just you and me, Ro. Let's go. All right.
0-2 slash. -0, -3 slash. Um.
three.
Okay, the, yeah,
three,
I'm,
three.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. This is a bad idea.
This was a bad idea, and it was definitely worth it. Sorry for having such an unsuccessful game, Ralph.
Yeah, sorry I'm bad at this.
It's all right. And thanks
I messed
again.
Up the first move.
Yeah, because you wanted a two, Janet. Jeez. It didn't even have parody. I'm sorry now.
Hell, they're wrong.
Fuck. All right. Now,
you said two, Jan, then you're like, -2, -2. And I'm thinking, that's
well,
not
after
two,
that,
Janet.
It would have been.
All right. And so now for our final words. Corey, do you have any final words for us?
Drink your milk. Eat your teeth. Brush your school. I don't know. Love you.
Mitch?
You suck, Brandon.
My final words are, it could attack at any time, so we must deal with it.
And mine is, do you want to see me do a front flip?
All right, so see us at SNS. If you have anything to send to us, please email us at support@cubecast.fm. Catch us at Slow and Steady, as I already said. And Half Cast should be out in 10 days. So
Yeah. It should
be
out in 10 days.
I need to actually work on that.
Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you.
All right, and thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.